Hi everyone, it's Susan from Vibe with Sue, and it's really been a while. I've been sorting out some stuff, but thankfully I'm here. So in this episode, I'll be examining the topic giving and generosity and some life lessons that I've learned. So stay tuned for more. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Vibe with Sue Podcast for weekly updates on episodes. Share with your friends and family. Okay, so I want to reflect a bit on what it means to be a giver. And you know, I just don't mean in terms of like finances or so. I want to think about what it means to be a giver emotionally, mentally, and physically. Now, you're not just a person who, let's say, when it's an occasion, you give. It's really someone who takes their time to invest in relationships, in the lives of others, expending energy, being generous, being kind, compassionate, and oftentimes, sometimes putting your needs before the needs, before you can even think about it. You end up putting your needs on the back burner and the needs of others in the front. So what I want to look at is in the terms of this being your personality trait, perhaps, and of course it's mine, that there are positives and negatives to extending generosity or yourself and your energy, your time, and even your money. So having said that, I want to give you some pros and some cons, or probably examine what happens in terms of generosity and giving in your personal life and the short-term and probably long-term effects of it. Now, human beings by nature, or let's say the average, or most citizens of any country in most parts of the world, through human interaction and connections, we can be very generous and charitable. And for many people, it does feel good to be caring and kind to others. And of course, you can be or tend to be proud of yourself or feel good about yourself, or it's an affirmation of yourself, or in some way you can validate who you are and maybe even justify your existence through your giving. And I know for myself, giving and generosity is a crucial part of my existence. So I could say that it has validated me or affirmed my existence upon the earth plane in terms of who I am and my personality. So regardless of, let's say, how you give or why you give, you do, of course, scientifically, it's proven that there are some responses that do take place within your body that adds to the feeling of what happens when you give, or you are generous, kind, or compassionate in some way. Now, you know, you often hear people say it's better to give than receive, or you hear things like giving brings a release, giving bring rewards, it brings blessings, and that has some subjective truth to it, right? But I want to examine the fact that, does your giving or your generosity relieve suffering, or do you experience suffering in generosity? So I myself have my own personal experiences, which I will share with you as well. And of course, in the world that we live in through our interactions with, let's say, commercials. You often have these subliminal messages that are being given to you. For example, when you look at the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, or you see an orphan child or a starving child, or Save the Animals, or wherever our planet, our inhabitants, whether they are four-legged or two-legged, needs help, you will see the requests for most times finances. And of course, we do have things like, you know, the environment, forest fires, you have social activism, and so that is always requesting the need for money, especially because, yes, money does answer things, and open doors provides opportunities, etc., and causes the world to turn. So you do have a feeling of hope that comes through giving. And of course, we know about the brain automatically has its own reward system for feeling good. So when you are, I would say, not just an average giver even, but even a powerful giver, so you can be on either spectrum, right? When you give, you release oxytocin, which is a powerful neurotransmitter and hormone that makes you feel the experience of love, the experience of joy. And of course, that experience could of course bring other wellness benefits, because it has been proven that giving does lower stress, lower blood pressure, and so forth, right? So you do have these experiences, and people who, let's say, are regular givers, myself included, and of course many, many of you listening as well, you do experience increased self-esteem and some sense of happiness, and some research have also shown even longevity of life. So biologically, I would say that your brain is connected and with all of this and with the people that you trust, and as you experience these feel-good chemicals in your brain, of course your mood becomes lifted. So that's very important to know as giving. In terms of giving, there are health benefits as well. Now, we can give in many ways. We can give finances, we could give our time, our listening ears, empathy, compassion. Some people will give through spiritual connections, you know, and reduce stress, and of course increase your feeling of optimism. So we do have that biological pathway that is present in terms of giving, right? But at the same time, I want to also express that, yes, through our giving, most people, we look to relieve suffering. But there is also suffering in generosity. So I want to look at that also. Now, a large percent of most populations throughout the world are in terms of religious giving, or in some people, the prosperity gospel, you know, salvation conditioning, or the rewards of going to heaven, or some people the guarantee that quote-unquote God will give you happy life, happy family life. You will be rewarded in many ways, including financially. And you have so many other benefits in terms of your religious doctrine or dogma, and it is a path to a good life. But what happens, I want you to question. You know, I'm a person that really believes in questioning beliefs and my own core beliefs. I do believe in continuous lifelong learning and evolution of your thoughts. Today you may be a particular person thinking one way, and next day or month or year you could have changes in your own thoughts and your beliefs or your values or your systems, you know. So I do believe in challenging the status quo, and I don't believe in blind compliance. I think non-conformity and questioning your own existence is really, really important. So we have the prosperity gospel in many ways, and you are always encouraged to give, whether it is 10% or continuous giving or time and service and giving your all, you know, in that way, more or less. And what happens when it does fail, as I asked previously before? What happens when, after all is said and done, you are struck with illness, or you are divorced, or no matter what you have done and you have followed all the dogma and doctrines and everything, and you have given and you have, you know, laid down everything that was possible that you could give, and you still see a measure of failure and not receiving the rewards that you wanted? What happens then? How do you question these things that happen? How do you come to terms with it? And of course, then you begin to question, what is the meaning of life and the purpose of your existence? You know? So we have been taught many, many ways, especially in terms of religion, to follow particular pathways in giving. And very rare have you been really given the opportunity to think about what it is that you as an individual or person desire or want. So sometimes you end up suffering in your generosity because you have given your all, only to realize that in terms of your reward, it is far outweighed by difficulties or challenges or obstacles that you consistently have to bear or go through. And life at times seems more full of that than the so-called promises that you were given. So, you know, many times we give, but we don't question at what expense. And you can become, or I would say I myself was one who had become, you know, in the grips of thoughts of and behavior fueled by a sense of compliance, moral obligation, religious duty and so forth, even duty to others. People, family, friends, etc., those who would have been close to you, without any critical analysis, you know. And so you could end up in a lot of financial debt, you could end up in resentments, disappointments, disillusionment, internal strife, sense of great discouragement, especially as women, when you have given your all in your homes, your families, wherever you might have been part of some community or religious organization, everything you have done, because you will find that especially I would say girls, especially for girls, you have always been made to think that sacrifice is the self, especially self-sacrifice, is the way to love. And maybe you have been taught it's your way of being a heroine in your story. And, you know, and of course, as women or as young girls, you would have had your own insecurities, especially growing up. So Janet Winterson of Art and Lies has really said that women or girls are brought up to believe that Self-sacrifice is our highest female virtue. And we willingly, we make it, and we continue in that way, and we are still waiting for the blessing. So women often sacrifice everything to live the thing that love being the necessary work. And we are not really afforded opportunity or time, especially when you become mothers, parents, you take on roles at your workplace and so, that we are not really afforded that opportunity to have self-knowledge or learn to resist or to thrive. So you can end up in many ways being abused in terms of giving without any sense of justice, especially if you've given your entire life to looking after your home, your family, and so. You aren't humiliated, defeated, you know, almost to the sense of being violated against your human rights. And, you know, there are many women who have sacrificed everything for their partners to get ahead. Now, there are few and very few who have done well there, but only to be cast aside and treated as insignificant. So your giving and generosity can bring you a lot of suffering also, for many reasons, and we will continue to delve in that. So self-sacrifice and being conditioned within the patriarchal system, you know, we are often motivated to nurture, to do, to become, at very little reward. In terms of, I'm not talking finances, but in terms of care, in terms of your health, in terms of being protected, provided, being valued, being affirmed, you know. And so it's really, really possible to give too much. And I would say that I myself have been guilty of that, you know. So that's why I suppose I'm speaking to you all today, not just sharing my life, but I think there may be people out there that we are overgivers and we drop everything for friends and family members on a consistent basis. And it's constant. And what happens is that self-care goes down the drain. And we fail to practice that. So we rather take, I have done that, taken free time to give to religious organizations, taken free time to help a friend, taken a lot of my free time to help others, instead of going to a much needed gym workout or taking my time to just relax or chill for myself, and or make decisions that could help me reach my true potential. So I've been guilty of that myself, really, really bad, and has affected me in with long-term consequences, you know. And I had to go through a period of reinventing or recreating myself. And walking away from institutions, people, places, things. And of course, some people have walked away from me. And that has been pretty painful, especially those that, you know, you were dear with. You were very kind, compassionate, giving, generous, etc. And they have chosen to discard me as if it were yesterday's bad news or rubbish. And I suppose that's really painful. I want to say that was, you know, was a period of real disillusionment and disenchantment. For me, I was disappointed. And, you know, it makes me, made me aware that human betrayal is really possible. And that in my sense of giving, that oftentimes myself, and I suspect that some of the listeners, you all may, that we don't honor ourselves first or prioritize ourselves first, you know? So I suppose sometimes it all depends on your upbringing and childhood and so, which in mine I was really, let's say, subconsciously or unconsciously trained to give, to sacrifice myself, to nurture, to do everything else but take time to validate who I am. Now, I am grateful for many, 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 many rewards and blessings of giving. I want to say with a heart of gratitude, I will not deny the fact that there were many benefits in having, special friends and special relationships and so. But at the same time, sometimes it's easy to put others on a pedestal and think well of them when you may not be equally well thought of, but you are not aware of this at the time, And so all of these things could happen to you, and the lack, you can end up with a feeling of lack of appreciation, annoyance, disillusionment, disappointment, frustration, and so. So I would say that sometimes, you have to face facts that, or when you give or overgive, it stems a lot from your inability to receive as well. Especially if all my life I would say for myself that I have not really been a receiver. People have not taken the time to nurture me. Or let's say the consequences, choices, the pathway in life did not lead me into that. So I have been really more extending myself to others in part of my survival. I suppose being estranged from my family, but of course many people experience dysfunctional families, in creating your own personal network, or where you are looking for affirmation or love or sense of belonging or community, it is possible to lose yourself and lose myself and forget or don't even know who you really are, should be, what you are about, and what is good for you in life. So you give and you give and you give because a lot of times it's the only way you may feel appreciated, or a sense of moral obligation, or is thinking of what you believe generosity is to be. At the end of it all, you end up putting the needs of others before your own. You avoid being uncomfortable if you are unable to give. You're looking for ways to help or to be kind. And I would say it is really my nature to be really generous to others. I'm merciful, kind, compassionate, because I understand the difficulties of life and how tough it is when there's not much mercy out there and no one to really lend a helping hand. So I've always been quite aware of this, but in many ways that has carried me also not only to goodness but also to suffering, and I will explain that in a while. So yes, I was content and happy to be a part of others' life. But at the same time, I did not realize that I was being emotionally, financially, physically drained, and prioritizing myself was nowhere in my thoughts. So I just want to encourage everyone that we have to be cognizant of these facts, and I will reiterate the point of relieving suffering versus suffering in generosity. So some of the measures that I had to take, and also I can encourage you, is that we do have to create budget, a budget, and learn to acclimatize ourselves to a new way of thinking instead of giving randomly acts of kindness, which can be good, but at the same time can work against you. So by doing this, you can send signals to your future and learn to become an effective or balanced altruist. Because I've been doing some research, and of course it's good to really talk to trusted, if you have a trusted person, or you do some research, you go online, you check for answers, you look within yourself, and so, or you connect to your what if you believe your higher power, your creator, and so. And you will find that in addition to that, we need to look at things like, I will explain that in terms of funding for your future, because especially when you become parents, or let's say according to your life decisions, you do not have many times through the sense of survival, you forget what is important for you as well as a personal individual, because now you become part of a group that needs you. So I want to encourage everyone to take time to, because especially in this time of pandemic, I know it's really difficult for many, many people, not only in my country but throughout the world. It's very difficult in terms of jobs and how your economic life is. And so these are general ideas, because I will not be able to say that I could step in anyone's shoes and know how how your difficulty at this time is affecting you, or what is your present state or conditions. But these are generalizations for most times in living, and I want to say we need, especially as women and as young girls, to be thinking about, do we have a vacation fund? Do we have an education or study fund? If, let's say, if you want to advance your skills or change your talents or expand or increase in some ability that you have, maybe for your own personal interests, maybe for employment, all of these things. Do you have funds for emergency? Or let's say your dream car, or perhaps your home, or any particular dream that you may have for yourself. Do you have any funds for a saving investment or wealth portfolio? And so I'm really saying that we do have to have a paradigm shift in our mindset. That I am not saying don't be kind or generous, but there has to be a newfound balance. And I'm encouraging you to cultivate kindness towards yourself and take charge of your life. And don't ever torture yourself about how others perceive you. And of course, what I'm saying is re-examine and change your core beliefs. So it's not always easy to do, but you can hold yourself accountable, and you can revisit decisions you made, or how you have made your savings, or how you have decided to have an emergency fund. And you could revisit your spending habits, and how do you give, and do you give from what you need, or do you give from excess, or are you giving in such a way that when you give, it's going to be to your detriment? And these are some of the things you have to address. And is it coming out of any place of insecurity? Is it coming from any place wanting to belong into friends and family? And because sometimes in our loneliness or in our sadness, we overextend ourselves to compensate for that which we lack. And that is something that you have to examine as well. So I suppose what I've learned is how to make myself the star of my life, and that truthfully love of myself and prioritizing myself is self-knowledge, self-care. Nobody is going to do that for you. For sure, don't get caught up into the pick-me culture or I'm going to give it all up or sacrifice myself. In fact, being a martyr and martyring yourself at the expense of yourself and benefits for your health, finances, emotions, and so where there is imbalance of that energy equity is not the way of love. So ask yourself, what's wrong with giving all to you first? You know, society have taught us in so many ways, even from our homes. You know, we have been coming in every single way that we just be kind or be compassionate, serve humanity, and all of that is wonderful. But give yourself first, pay yourself first, love yourself first, go to the gym first, buy that extra thing that you need first. Taking care, making investments so your health is better way down the line, all of that, or what's going to be your future at a particular age, 20 years from now, if you didn't put aside your emergency fund. These are the things you need to ask yourself, and what's going to happen in terms of how I give my emotions or expend emotional labor. Or nurture others, and I'm abandoned, or there's a possibility in relationships for you to be abandoned, for you to be betrayed. What's going to happen? Where is your equity that you are building up so that should these things happen, you will be able to be stable and land on your feet in terms of, you know, relationship breakups or divorce or whatever it is. What's going to be your position? Because life is, you know, it's transient, it's tenuous. You really can't say 100% what's going to be your future and what's going to happen. So you have to send the signals to your future and start building for it, or else, it's going to be tough. So you have to really honor yourself and be able to set boundaries in your life in terms of giving, and I mean in giving everything, emotional, financial, physical, everything. Declutter your life, see what works for you in terms of relationships, things, people. Set ground rules always in terms of these things. And also set ground rules and boundaries for your spending, savings, etc. Do hold yourself accountable. And I really, you know, this is something I really want to encourage parents out there, that we have to, especially for our young ladies, we have to empower others, our children, to understand it's not about serving others first. You have to serve if you are caring for others. You can't be given from an empty cup, especially as you grow older. And really teach kids, especially girls, how to nurture yourself and to prioritize yourself and become the star of your own life. So, we have enough as women in terms of oppression, in terms of being misaligned and slandered and oppressed in so many ways. And we really have to take time to undo our socialization and re-socialize ourselves from the eyes of self-knowledge, self-awareness, and prioritizing yourself, self-care. So take responsibility for your life, and from the place of infinite possibilities and infinite awareness, Do take care of yourself. Do figure out what are your dreams, what are your passions, what are your plans, and how do you go about it? And you're gonna stick with it. Now, sometimes life will throw you curveballs, based on circumstances you cannot control. And of course, those that you did control and your choices. But in the midst of it all, you really have got to get serious to avoid long-term regrets and short-term regrets and deep regrets. You have got to sit down and not listen to anybody's voice much. Yes, you can seek advice, but eventually you have to connect with that soul within and find out what are the best options and how do you want your life to be. In that way, you can co-create your life, take responsibility, take accountability, and live your life through your standards of integrity. So you have to do it because if you don't reckon and challenge your beliefs, that restoration that all of us is longing for from the pains of life, it's really going to be a very, very difficult road to achieve it. So the unthinkable can happen, and you have to prepare yourself for it. So don't use up your energy equity. I will advise everyone to breathe and find your own oxygen first. And with confidence, always put self-care on the schedule, and above all, prioritize yourself. Make thoughtful decisions and be mindful about what you do, especially when you are thinking what's going to be my future in the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And remember that though generosity is important to relieve suffering, you cannot suffer through and as a result of your generosity. Right. So I do hope that you will be able to expand and increase your energy equity, and you will not, or yet say that you will add to your wisdom and grow your own wisdom so that you will avoid being depleted and drained in terms of giving. And really check out what's worthy or not of being, of receiving from you, and do your best to handle disappointments and rejections in terms of going back to the place of self-care and honoring yourself. Okay, so I hope in many ways that was useful to you guys. I want to thank you for being here. I sincerely appreciate the fact that I have the opportunity to speak and that you will give me a listening ear. I really want to say that I honor you for that time. So, from my heart to yours, until next time, take care, everyone, and keep well.